I would like to thank all of you for bestowing your kind blessings and prayers upon my mother during the ceremony earlier today. We are on the island of Simantadweep. We have two of the most illustrious Navadweep Vasis in our midst today, Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangri Prabhu. Jagannath and Balaram are more happy when I speak about the two of you. These two brothers cannot be described with mortal words. We can see by their effulgence how they illuminate the hearts of whoever they come in contact with. They have been on Srila Prabhupada's order, faithfully, steadily performing their service as pujaris for over 30 years. For a spiritual master to have a disciple who he can completely depend on, that is a very, very deep pleasure to the heart of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada installed the deities here in Mayapur in a thatched hut, surrounded by aggressive elements. Dacoits. Severe conditions, poverty. He brought Radham out of here and he entrusted the care to these brothers. And although over the years there has been so many crises, so many transformations, so many people coming and going, they have remained. Jananivas Prabhu is from the wealthy, opulent country of UK. He came in 1970, and do you know, since 1970, he has never left India? Pankajangari Prabhu, the only time he left is because he had to leave, because the government has visa. But these two brothers have remained here for over 30 years, faithfully performing the service that Prabhupada gave them, never complaining, never even considering doing anything else, because they have, from the core of their hearts, given their lives and souls to Srila Prabhupada's service. Being on the altar and in the pujari room is not usually a service that makes you world famous. It's just a humble service. But because of their steadiness, their humility, they've remained staunch, exemplary brahmacharis with literally no distraction, no other priority in their life except service to Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas. And thus, their influence is bringing faith, hope, and direction to devotees all over the world. In fact, a couple years ago, some of the leading devotees of Mayapur were actually promoting that these two brothers should be the acharyas of all of ISKCON. Huh?
That's some joke.
Not a joke, it was serious. It's a true story. That is how much people love them and trust them. It's what we read about Vaishnavas in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavat. They are living examples of those qualities in the most pleasing and heart-melting way. And today, they have so kindly agreed to join us to speak the glories of Simantadvipa. Let us offer our heartfelt gratitude to them for giving their precious time. His Grace Chananivas Prabhu has given me an order, and I must obey. Actually, I have told the story to you many times, but some have not heard. But I love to tell the story. In the 1970s, from 74 till 1980, I was pujari in a distant land called New Vrindavan. Distant in many ways. At that time, Srila Prabhupada, he sent the first Shalagram Shilas to the Western world. This is the introduction to it. So, Prabhu, I gave you the microphone, but you gave it back to me. So Prabhupada sent two Shalagram Shilas, Hiranyagarbha and Sudarshan Chakra. And he sent them with the message that he's sending these Shilas to New Vrindavan to establish the worship of Shalagram Shila in the Western world. And he actually wrote down instructions because I was the pujari. He said, you should bathe them with scented water, dry them, then massage them with sandal oil. Then you can paint a face on them with Gopi Chandan. Then he said, you offer them Chandan and Tulsi leaves. First class worship of Shalagram is Tulsi leaves. And he said, you could also offer them a dhoti, a chadar, a crown, and a flute. And he said, for further instructions, you may consult with Jananivas in Mayapur. So since that time, I accepted, as the order of my guru on my head, Srila Prabhupada, that Jananivas Prabhu is my Shiksha Guru. And I wrote to him, and he sent me back How to Worship Shalagram with 64 items. Prabhupada gave about 5 or 6. He said, if you want to know more, consult Janani Vas. I consulted and I got 64 back. From Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And although I was not allowed to leave the deities in New Vrindavan and he was not allowed to leave the deities in Mayapur, we had communication, not by email, but by letters. Nice, peaceful letter writing. But for many years I took instructions. And then when I first came, after I took sannyas in 82, I was allowed to come to Mayapur. And then I met not only Janani Vas Prabhu, but his most illustrious saintly brother, Pankajangari Prabhu. Sometimes it says that Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj, they were so close friends. Bhakti Ratnakar describes they were like the same soul in two bodies. But with Janani Vas and Pankajangari, it's even more than that. It appears that they're the same soul in the same bodies. Some problem there? Hari Hari. So Janani Vas Prabhu has asked me to speak something about Simanta Dweep. I will speak one thing and then they will speak everything. Navadvipa Mahatmya describes how in Satya Yuga one day Lord Shiva was dancing madly in ecstasy. Parvati was watching and she had never seen her husband intoxicated with such spiritual emotion. And Lord Shiva is always intoxicated with spiritual emotion. But on this occasion, it was beyond. And he was loudly crying out, Gauranga! 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 So Parvati inquired, who is this Gauranga that you are speaking of? Just by hearing his name, my heart is melting. Please tell me about him. Lord Shiva explained that Gauranga, he said, my dear Parvati, you are the primordial energy, a plenary portion of Sri Radharani, the original pleasure potency of the Lord. Gauranga is the most beneficent, most merciful of all aspects of the Absolute Truth. Krishna assumes the sentiment and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. And he descends in the age of Kali Yuga as Gauranga to give the unparalleled love of God of Vrindavan to everyone and anyone. Meditating on Lord Gauranga, I am feeling His mercy, and that is awakening transcendental ecstasy in my heart. He appears in this world in the land of Navadvip. Parvati was so eager to experience the love of Gauranga that she came to Navadvip, to this place. Some say near that banyan tree where the Jagannath temple is, she performed austerities, meditating on Gauranga, chanting the holy names of Lord Gauranga. And the Lord appeared before her, Sri Gaurasundara, with his beautiful, beautiful golden form, a big, beautiful garland of flowers around his neck, intoxicated with Radharani's love. Krishna stood before her. Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu asked Parvati, "What is your desire?" And Parvati Devi spoke. She said, You're giving prema to everyone. You're making so many people fortunate. But I think I am the most unfortunate. Because it is said, wherever there is Krishna, Maya does not exist. I'm sorry, wherever there is Krishna, Maya is far away. And I am Mahamaya. That means you always keep me far away from you. I have the thankless, horrible task of keeping people in illusion, of supervising the affairs of material existence, of overseeing the threefold miseries of material existence that keep people shackled and bound in the prison of this material world and away from you. It is my desire, it is my hope that I could also participate in your transcendental pastimes of love. She wept and fell at the feet of Lord Gauranga. Then Lord Chaitanya told her that actually I have one energy, but that energy has two functions. It is my spiritual energy, my Shakti. In the form of Sri Radha, you are providing all enjoyment and love to me and all the inhabitants of the spiritual realm. And in the form of Mahamaya, you are assisting me very nicely by keeping those persons who misuse their independence bound by the clutches of material desire. But you are Yoga Maya. You do have a form in Vrindavan at Purnamasi, and you will eternally reside. I grant you this benediction. You will eternally reside in Navadvip as my Yoga Maya potency of the name Prodamaya, and in this way you will participate in my pastimes of divine love. Gauranga Mahaprabhu then disappeared. And Parvati, before he disappeared, took the dust from his beautiful lotus-like feet and put it in her simanta, or the part of her hair. And thus the name Simantadvip was given. And this particular place is considered to be none different than Jagannath Puri. In Navadvip Dham, all the holy places are present, and this is considered to be Jagannath. Not considered to be, it is Jagannath Puri. And how Lord Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra actually came here? It's a story that we will hear from Pankajangari and Janani Vasudeva. Just on the other side of the temple is the place of the kutir of Kulavecha Sridhar. We spoke about him this morning. In fact, we spoke about him every day. His residence is here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would every day come here to Simantadweep to argue with Kulavecha Sridhar over the price of banana leaves for 2 hours. Can you imagine? The Lord gave 2 hours of a day, every day, just for this simple Kulavecha. According to Chaitanya Bhagavat, except for a few devotees, nobody even knew his name, Sridhar. He was just such a humble and simple person. Everyone just known who it is, Kulavecha. That means the seller of bananas and leaves. Although very unknown to the materialistic eyes of man, he was so dearly known, he was so significant to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the Lord came and performed pastimes with him alone for 2 hours every day. So we will see later on a nice little temple that is erected at the place of the home of Kulavecha Sridhar. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly, after he began his Sankirtan movement, he would come to Sridhar's place to take rest. Just like Pankajangari Prabhu was taking rest. Before an animal disturbed him. Jananivas Prabhu.
What should we speak? To tell the history of the Deities, how they appear. Om Akyan Nan Chindanandasya Sanandaman Shalakaya Tachuru Minitanji. I was talking with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. After one of our first meetings, or second meeting. And he was telling me how he came to India. Actually, we came at both at the same time. And more or less, we were going to exactly the same places. Exactly the same route through Europe. We stopped at the same places. Crete, small insignificant island. Here and there, and in India, traveling around. And apparently, he said we were in Hrishikesh at the same time.
Same place.
Same place. He said, but you wouldn't have seen me because I stood up very early in the morning, walk up the Ganga, a very lonely place, and sit on a rock in the Ganga. And when it was evening, I would come back to the same ashram we were staying. let me get ashram. I'm just behind you. But apparently he said we were at exactly the same time. And no, it says the Shastra that the only way of perfection is to follow in the path of the Mahajanas. So I was simply stepping everywhere Radhanath Maharaj had stepped. I was following in his footsteps. But as you said, there's a... Although the primeval potency is one, she is manifest as the supreme internal energy of Yogamaya and the external energy of Mahamaya. In the form of the internal potency, namely Srimati Radharani, she dragged Radhanath Maharaj to the bank of the Jamuna, her Jamuna. And her sister, You kicked me up in the cold Himalayas amongst the Mayavadis. So I wasn't suitable enough to go to Vrindavan, although I could go to the other place. Then I had to get the mercy of Jagannath.
Yep, Yogamaya.
Yeah, Yogamaya actually. It was Subhadra Devi.
Tell us that.
Huh?
Tell us that.
What?
Right when we had Puri. When we went to Puri and saw Subhadra Devi.
So anyway, by Radhanath's mercy, eventually we all met Prabhupada. And he's assembled us all here together today. And he's revealing so many places of the Dharma. So here in Srimantadvip, this place where we are staying now was the home of Jagadish Ganguly. And he was, at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, he lived just at the end of this mango grove here. There's a little pukur, and it's called Ganguly Pukur. That is where actually he was staying. And the actual original temple was there. But he was one of the devotees of Navadvip Dham, who every year after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas would go to Jagannath Puri to see Jagannath, and Lord Chaitanya was there. So it was a double festival for all the residents of Navadvip. They would walk to Puri. So as he became older, Jagadish Ganguly, he became blind. And his friend said, it's too difficult to take you anymore to Puri. Because they were walking in those days. And they would take the shortcut, because it was a very long walk. They would walk through the forest and through different fields. And they said, because you're blind, it'll mean someone's going to hold your hand all the way. It's just too difficult for us to take you. So Jagadish concluded that, what use is living? I used to go every year and say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannathji. Now my life is useless. I won't be able to see. I can't go. So tomorrow morning when I take my bath in Ganga, I will commit suicide in the Ganga. Life is not worth living anymore. So he resolved in his mind that this will be his last day. But that night Jagannath appeared to him in the dream and he said that, why do you want to commit suicide? He said, because you can't go to Puri to see me. He said, but actually you should understand that this very place where you are living now is none different than Jagannath Puri. In fact, this place is the source of Jagannath Puri. This Puri is actually the source of Jagannath Puri. Because this place is none different than Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the original abode. Everything emanates from Vrindavan. So even Puri expands from Vrindavan. Never did. So he said, I am here all the time. Sometimes I'm manifest and sometimes I'm unmanifest, but you should understand without doubting that this is my eternal abode. So he said, tomorrow when you take your bath in Ganga, he said, a piece of wood will be floating down, it'll touch your body. And so you take that wood, because that is me. That is Daru Brahman. And you have my form made at this village. And this particular carpenter, you ask him to make my form, and you can worship me here. So he was very happy. And he woke up in the morning, he thought, was it a dream, or did Jagannath really mean it? Maybe he was just being merciful to me and give me a nice dream. Anyway, he was taking his bath and the lump of wood floated down and touched his body. Jagannath Swami ki! And he grabbed that log. He hugged that log. And he took him to the bank and he made all the arrangements to take him to the village where Lord Jagannath had asked him to take him. And they found the carpenter and they requested, you please make this form of Lord Jagannath. But the carpenter was a leper. And he said, I cannot make the form of the Lord. He said, my hands are very unclean. There is blood and everything like that. It's very improper for me to make the deity form. I cannot do it. And he flatly refused. So then they said, well, we'll take him to another carpenter. So they took him to another carpenter. And he agreed to make the deity. But he was making, but every time he hit the chisel, his hammer would break. So he'd get a new hammer and hit it, and the chisel would break. So he'd get a new chisel and hit it, and the hammer would break. And he said, Jagannath doesn't want me to make it for him. He wants his devotee to make it. So they went back to the leper devotee, and they said, listen, you claim to be a devotee of Jagannath, a servant of Jagannath, that means you have to follow his orders. And he has ordered you to do it. So if you're actually his servant, you have to follow his order. So he said, you have defeated me. I have to do it. The Lord has ordered. So then he began to make the form of Jagannath with great difficulty because of his condition. Finally it was finished. And when it was finished, his leprosy also finished on his body. And also at that time, Jagadish Ganguly's eyes, they came open. And he could actually see his worshipful Lord Jagannath before him. Jagannath Swami ki. So he was established here. And shortly after that, again, Lord Jagannath appeared. And he said, nearby here is one very big nim tree. You take that nim tree and you make my brother Balaram, my sister Subhadra, to put them by my sides. And you can worship us all here. So Jagadish began his eternal service to serve this Lord Jagannath, Balaram Subhadra. And he spent his life very, very happily. And finally he wound up his pastime here and went to the abode of Lord Jagannath. And his family was entrusted to continue the worship, but they weren't so devoted like Jagadish Ganguly. And after some time, the worship gradually reduced, and then they would only worship once in a day, then later once a week, and then now and again. And Jagannath, he spoke to Pujari that I was very satisfied when Jagadish Ganguly was here. It's not the same as it was before. And he said also, he says one of his, because he was coming from an aristocratic Brahmana family, he said that one of the female members of this family has become polluted. And I'm very disappointed. So, you should ask actually everybody to leave this place. Because there's an epidemic will come here. So you ask everybody to leave. So Pujari woke up and he informed all the local village people that what Jagannath said. So everybody left. Oh, there's going to be an epidemic. But the family, they didn't take it very seriously. So they said, no, we'll stay. But there was an epidemic and the whole of the family was wiped out. And then according to the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Navadvipa Mahatmya, then the Ganga constantly comes moving like a snake through Navadvipa Dharma. She's constantly changing her courses and she's constantly flooding and washing all the pastime places away and hiding all these places by Lord Chaitanya's desire. And so nobody was living here for many hundreds of years, 400 years actually. Ganga was performing her pastime. Then after some time she went back to a more steady course. And again people came to live here. And one Brahmin named Pratik Chatterjee, he came and he lived here also on this side. He wasn't actually a devotee, he was a Shakta. But he was worshipping Shalagram and he was a devoted Brahmin. And he actually knew the deities were here and they were very broken down, dilapidated condition, the temple, and he actually knew they was here and there was a little bit of puja was going on. And he did something here with his family. Then in 1978, during the Gopurnima Prikram festival, all the devotees were here, international devotees, and they were hearing the glories of Srimantadvipa. And he was very much inspired to see so many devotees from Western countries. And he was getting old also, and he had no son. So he asked, actually Jaipa Thakamaraj was here at the time, he asked him that, I see you were very enthusiastic devotees of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath. Would you like to take over the savor of Lord Jagannath here? And he actually gave that time the savor of Lord Jagannath to the devotees of ISKCON. And since that time, we've built a very nice temple there. At the moment, I'm sorry for that. Construction is going, we're expanding the temple. The Nath Mandir and everything. And putting marble on the inside. Otherwise, now the deities are. That was their original home when we first came here. That was their original home where they are now. And actually, they were leaning again, they couldn't even stand up straight. They say there was a termite were all over the deities. Termite hill. And they had eaten the base of the deity. But actually the Jagannath and Balaram Subhadra were untouched, but the base that they were sitting on there was all eaten by the termites. So anyway, we restored everything nicely. And then later on we built that very beautiful temple for them. And now they are sitting there, enjoying the peaceful atmosphere of Srimantadvipa and eating chapana bhog every day. So they've been there a long time, 500 years, and he's like the grandfather. Sometimes the grandfather, he does very odd things. And so like that, Jagannath is sometimes does some very strange things. And Pankajangi Prabhu will tell you some of his antics of Lord Jagannath here at Srimantadvipa. Jagannath Swami ki.
Class.
Well, it'll be second hand if I tell it. Better if John just tells you directly from his mouth. But I'll give you a synopsis. At the time that Janus was following in Radhanath Maharaj's footsteps, he also pulled me along. So we were traveling around, and one day he got up and said, I'm getting off the train. He said, where are you going? Down to Puri. Anyway, we was going to a certain place, but he got off in Puri, and by that time he was in the Rath Yatra was going on. We didn't know about it. We were karmis, and he was standing in front of a cart, and just looking at the deity. It was Lady Subhadra, Yogamaya. Then he said, I don't know how long I was standing in there for, but it seemed, I suddenly woke up and it seemed like an eternity I'd been standing there. But I became very self-conscious because I thought everyone was looking at me. But it was like a timeless experience that he went into. He can fill in the details of trying to make the story connect. How Yogamaya, he got his darshan of Yogamaya before he was a devotee. This way he came and influenced me. Then he was in India before we first came together. And I was waiting for him somewhere else, and he didn't come. He went to the Far East. I went to the other two. We was going to meet in Africa, North Africa, for the World Love-In in 1969, I think. World Love-In. In Marrakesh, in Morocco. But he didn't come. He went on to India from Greece. And then when he came back, he was a transformed person. But I won't tell you that story. But then he said, we're going to India. Introduction. we have to follow in the footsteps, you see. Janus is also my Shiksha Guru. Another time we will elaborate. So here in this very wonderful gardens where Lord Chaitanya is a wonder and come and take rest after the ecstatic kirtans, they would come and sit, lay down in these places. Especially that place which we may see today, Vishramstan. And Lord Jagannath wanders around this place. The local people will tell you that sometimes on a evening they hear ching, 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 ching. But they don't see anybody. But they hear that sound and they smell very sweet smells coming from the area of the temple. That was the people that live in the next nearest closest house. So they would say that was Lord Jagannath used to go out for walks. They could hear his nupa, his ankle bells chinking. Especially on Saturday night. He thought that was a Western concept, didn't he?
But why not? This is his garden. He'll come around and take his walk, and those fortunate souls may be able to see or hear. And one devotee used to guard the orchard like this. On the other side, there's an orchard like this, mango orchard and jackfruit. And he was sitting up the tree at night time, and he saw one man coming in the distance, dead of night. He passed by underneath, didn't say anything. Gentleman, nicely dressed, nice cloth, long hair, nice perfume, smell, oil there. He walked to the Jagannath temple. Then he heard a kirtan start. Then it grew. Not an ordinary kirtan. It's a huge kirtan, maha kirtan. Lights were there, ladies were ululating, and middle of the night, it's in the morning. Then it went away, and he never investigated. But his idea was that the devas were coming to worship Lord Jagannath. That was his impression. And also Jagannath a few times actually appeared to this. He's a local person. He sells wood for a living. And he used to, one time he didn't come for the guard duty. For 2 or 3 days. Then he came back. The day he came back, the night he was doing duty, and he was leaning against the temple and kind of dozing. Then the Jagannath came into the dream, began to chastise him. Why are you not protecting us? This is a very lonely place. So many dacoits around. Huh? You're our servant, and you're not coming. What is going on? Don't do it again. Frightened him like anything. Another time also, somebody gave him some prasadam, and he was very tired, and he left it there in front of him, and then he fell asleep. And he woke up, that was the pot was gone, it was somewhere else, and a distance away, empty. So he understood that one dog had come and eaten it, everything. Then at night, Balaram came and chastised him again. Actually, gave him some punishment. I told him, don't disrespect this prasadam. You're out. And he gave him some instructions, 10 instructions. Which he wouldn't tell us, some of them. He said some were personal, but others were, he said that you should always protect this place, make sure that everyone follows these principles. There's no illicit activities going on here. For yourself, of course, you must follow this. So a few instructions he actually gave him. Another devotee here just died last year. He actually first started the worship in a big, about 60 or so years ago, and he was, because the deities were here, but nobody was worshiping them. From time to time the worship would go down, and this time the temple was completely, more or less, covered with jungle. Nobody was going there. And one time, they heard some voices. Please feed us. We're hungry. Please feed us. The local people went there, and they found that the temple was there, because nobody ever went there at all. It was all covered with jungle. So like that, this time, the same thing about 60 years ago, then this person, Jaimini Ghosh, he told us a story, personally, that He was going past the temple. He was going to Navadvip, and in the early evening, then a tree fell in front of him, a bamboo tree. So he became very paranoid. He thought it was some work of some ghost Buddha. And he said, "I knew if I stepped over that tree, he would have captured me." He said, "You know, bamboo trees don't do that. They don't just crash it down like that." And so he became very paranoid, very fearful. And he almost became unconscious. But then he heard a voice saying, "After some time, it's okay. You can go. It's okay now. There's no danger." So he was very suspicious that this unembodied voice came. So he asked, "Why did you do that to me?" The voice said, "I didn't do it. I saved you. I'm your friend." So he said, "If you're my friend, why didn't you help me get to Navadvip?" He said, "Then I felt myself being lifted, more or less taken down the road. This is to the Ghat, across the river." He said, "No boat. I found myself outside my uncle's house." A few days later, that voice came again to him and said, "And Rigo, this is Jagannath." Huh? "So I've been here, I've been sitting here, no worship for a long time, and now I desire again to be worship, my worship to begin, and I want you to do it." He's 14 years old, the boy at that time. So he began to worship Jagannath with great happiness. And he told all the local people, he told his mother, father, that he got this apparition. And they were very happy also, but they only could only one day a week he could go. He cleaned the place up. He said that time there was in a termite's nest also. He said, but as while he was worshiping the first time, he said gradually they rose out of that. They gradually came out from that nest. Then finally he cleaned the whole temple up and built some kind of fence for protection. And he was just living off of, he was collecting from the local villagers that he could do, but initially they were enthusiastic and they helped him, but after a while then no one was giving much more money. So he went to ask, petition Lord Jagannath that trouble, we have no more, and no Lakshmi, how am I going to worship you? How am I going to feed you? Because he said, worshiping very simple. Jagannath said, "You can use, just offer me some fruit and batosa, this sweet, sugar sweet." Mm. So that is sufficient. So, batosa, this little flat, half round, sugar sweet. Batosa. And Ganga water. So he said, "Baba, we have no more funds. I can't. Nobody wants to give anymore. I don't know what to do. You please help. Come to the rescue." Then at night, a big storm and two huge branches, boughs of the tree, the big tree that fell down in front of the temple. He said, "So I sold those as firewood." He said, "So for 3 months I had money to watch it. Then after 3 months, again it went back and I felt." So, Prabhu, we're in the same position again, you. you're a very resourceful person, you know. You please help out that we can continue your worship. He said, then every day, from then on, every day I went to the temple, there was some Lakshmi, little, just enough for the day's worship on the altar. And he also told another remarkable story. One day he was sleeping outside the temple, and he woke up and he found himself in Puri. And then he woke up again and he realized it wasn't a dream. It was in Puri. So, and it was Rathyatra time, so he was very happy. The festival was going on. But then after 2 days, then he said, "Well, what about my mum and dad? They're going to be complete anxiety about me. They don't know where I am." Because they had no money to get back. So he went to the temple and he saw the pandas there. and he asked them what, he told them the story. He said, I have to get back to Bengal, I don't have any money. He said, well, how did you get here? He said, I don't know, it's Jagannath's arrangement. They said, well, there he is, he brought you here, you asked him to take you back. So he went to pray, he prayed to Lord Jagannath to please arrange some situation. And then when he woke up in the morning, he was back again. Sinaswami ki. They left his body last year, that devotee.